Hi, this is Mark de Clive Lowe, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice, samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Keddie on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Robert Gavin reports for the Times Union that Raymond J. Kennedy, a justice in Durham Town Court, was disciplined with a censure September 7th after he name-dropped his judicial status in a small claims matter involving his wife. Kennedy has served as a justice since January 1st, 2008. He also tried to serve as his wife Debbie's attorney while not a lawyer, according to the decision by the State Commission on Judicial Conduct. Censure is the second most severe punishment meted out by the commission. Kennedy agreed to the punishment. Quote, public confidence in the integrity of the judiciary is undermined whenever a judge invokes the prestige of office for a private benefit, unquote, Robert Temblak Jian, the commission's administrator, said in a statement. Quote, it was plainly improper for Judge Kennedy to make a reference to his judicial position when his wife was sued, and to act as her lawyer in the case when, in fact, he is not a lawyer, unquote. Kennedy told Catskill Village Justice William P. Wooten in making the case for his wife on April 17, 2019, quote, Your Honor, I'll state that to the court that it's no secret that I'm a judge in another locality, and prior to that I was a state trooper for 30 years, unquote. The case involved a rental property in Hopewell Junction in Dutchess County owned by the judge and his wife. While appearing before Wooten, Kennedy spoke in his wife's defense and cross-examined one of the plaintiffs. He also offered testimony about his wife's interactions with the plaintiffs, which he did not witness. Justice Wooten ultimately found for the plaintiffs, and the Kennedys had to pay them $3,000. Kennedy represented himself in the disciplinary hearing, and in an April letter to the commission, he admitted acting and speaking inappropriately in the matter. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
NBC News is reporting that while COVID-19 deaths and cases continue locally and worldwide, Governor Kathy Hochul is ending mask mandates on mass transit in the state. Hochul said, and I quote, "Masks are encouraged but optional on our mass transit across our state of New York. If you choose not to have a mask, it's your own risk assessment. You make your own determination, but do not judge your fellow passengers on what their choices are," end quote. Masks are still required in health care facilities, nursing homes, jails, prisons, and domestic violence shelters. Even as more COVID-19 cases and deaths are reported locally and globally, masks are coming off. Hochul said the mask mandate, and I quote, "was there for the right reason to protect our health. This is watching the trends, and we're seeing a stabilization. We're very optimistic that we will be assuring each other's safety," end quote. Read the full story at NBC New York.
Meg Britton Meschlich is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that Timothy Shugrue, a former prosecutor and local defense attorney, defeated incumbent Andrea Harrington in the Democratic primary for Berkshire County District Attorney that ended September 6th. Shugrue of Pittsfield told supporters at an election night watch party that voters had sent a clear message on their expectations for the office. Quote, "The message tonight, as you saw in the turnout, which was a nice turnout, and you saw it in the manner in which we won, people wanted a change," unquote, Shugrue said. About 9:45 p.m., Harrington called Shugrue to concede and congratulate him on his campaign. She then appeared before a crowd of family, office staff, and campaign supporters to let them know about her decision to concede. Quote, "I'm very dedicated to ensuring that we have a smooth transition in the district attorney's office," unquote, she said. Shugrue will become the next DA in January after his victory in the Democratic primary because there are no Republican challengers in the race. During the campaign, Shugrue, 62, drew strong differences between himself and Harrington, contrasting their views on what it means to be an effective progressive leader. During her tenure, Harrington focused on reducing racial bias in the criminal justice system, took a hard line against gender-based violence, and brought an evidence-based approach to personal use drug crimes. In the DA's contest, she received support from U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren and Massachusetts Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Mara Healey. Shugrue said he intends to rebuild what he said was the, quote, "broken," unquote, relationship between the DA's office and local law enforcement. In the final weeks of the campaign, he was endorsed by unions representing the Massachusetts State Police, North Adams Police, and supervisors, as well as the Pittsfield Police, Shugrue said. Quote, "We need both campaigns to work together now in unison, to work together to bring crime under control in Berkshire County, and to fairly reaffirm and reform the criminal justice system. The stakes are high. We must come together once and for all because justice is for all," unquote. Read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Brianna Supardi reports for CNY Central that the New York Farm Wage Board voted September 6th to recommend lowering overtime threshold for farm workers. But it will be 10 years before farm workers get overtime after 40 hours of work, like grocery store employees or record store clerks. Currently, farm workers do not receive overtime pay until they work 60 hours in a week. Lisa Zucker, senior attorney of legislative affairs for New York Civil Liberties Union, said, and I quote, "Every industry has to pay overtime pay after 40 hours. We have doctors talk about the stress injuries they see every day because farm workers working their bodies 60 hours a week, a week, a week, a week on end. And if you're going to do that, you're really essentially shortening your career risk injury. You need to be compensated for that just like with every other industry," end quote. Raymond Dykeman, who owns Dykeman & Sons Dairy Farm, says he will downsize his farm if forced to pay employees just like other employers. Dykeman said, and I quote, "Pricing on the farm, we get whatever we're paid, we can demand higher prices," end quote. New York lawmakers are giving farmers a 118% tax credit for every dollar they spend on overtime pay. New York's Department of Labor has 45 days to accept, reject, or modify the board's recommendation.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that, according to a Siena College poll released on September 7th, a majority of New York residents support President Joe Biden's plan for student debt relief. However, the issue sharply divides Democrats, Republicans, and independents along generational and political lines. New Yorkers over the age of 65 were less likely to support the plan, while it is most popular with people under the age of 50. The plan would affect student loan debt of up to $10,000 in federal loans for borrowers who earn less than $125,000 a year and couples who make less than $250,000 a year. Relief would also apply for up to $20,000 in Pell Grant recipients as well. The poll found that 56% of respondents support the plan, with 33% opposed. Support was most popular among Black residents at 77%. Debt forgiveness is also most popular for people between the ages of 35 to 49, 67 to 20%. Democrats backed the plan by 82%. GOP voters rejected the idea, with 61% of those surveyed saying it went too far. Independents are divided, 38% in support, 46% against. The poll was conducted from August 28th to September 1st. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Amanda Burke is reporting for Berkshire Eagle that Thomas Bowler won the Democratic primary election for sheriff of Berkshire County. And since there is no Republican running, he will have a third six-year term as sheriff. Bowler beat challenger Alfred E. Alf Barbalunga, the chief probation officer for the Southern Berkshire District Court, with 80% of the vote. Celebrating his victory at the Berkshire Hills Country Club, fireworks erupted outside, visible through the windows behind Bowler. Bowler quipped, and I quote, "Those are illegal in Massachusetts." Someone shouted, and I quote, "We got a permit," end quote, drawing laughter from the crowd. "We're going to continue to try to give you the quality of life that each and every one of you deserve," end quote. In the race for Massachusetts governor, Maura Healey won the Democratic nomination, and Geoff Deal will be the Republican nominee in the general election in November. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny, with a temperature high near 78 degrees. Thursday night, patchy fog before 5 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And on Friday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 81 degrees. And Friday night, mostly clear, with a temperature low of around 56 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Thursday, September 8th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.org. Including Cheryl Kay is back after a little vacation with Situation Fluxus, her jazz interview show at 10 a.m. Then we hear music from Vina Cherubucci on the Transformational Listening Show at 11 a.m. 2 p.m. it's time for What's the Frequency Kenneth, which is all tapped out this week. At 4 p.m. the WGXC Afternoon Show beams in live from Hudson with Cecil Graham and Tom DiPietro. At 7 p.m., we beam in live from Philmont with Heath Iverson and the Philmont Media Project and their show Movies on the Radio. At 9 p.m., we're live from Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and his Disco 3000 show. And at 10 p.m., we're live from somewhere in Columbia County with the Magic Stranger show on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Keddie on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Sunday evening at 6 o'clock right here on WGXC. You can tune in to listen to the program Lawful and Humane.
The Inhuman City.
On this program you will hear music, found sounds, intentional noise, words,
field recordings.
All together, all at once. Tune in to Lawful and Humane. Live radio from Hudson, New York. On WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast, which we start each day with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. Right now it's $3.86 a gallon at the Citgo in South Cairo at the lowest price in Greene County, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 12, exactly the same as on Wednesday. The UV index, though, has changed quite a bit. It's up to a 7 in the high category as the sun returns. So you are recommended to wear a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and an SPF 30 sunscreen if you're out in the elements for very long. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Thursday with a high of 75 and a wind from the north around 5 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, there should be a low around 55. Then Friday, it's again sunny with a high of 78 and a low around 55. Saturday should also be sunny with a high near 80 and a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David White of Greenville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
from the 2022 album Faros Fasra. That was Bjork with her single Atapos on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Next, here is 2022 music from Brian Eno. The song is called There Were Bells from his Forever and Ever No More album.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
A vote will happen. A vote on marriage equality will happen on the Senate floor in the coming weeks.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer hopes to garner the 10 GOP votes needed to pass Democrats' bill to codify same-sex marriage. To gain Republican support, sponsors are working on an amendment to clarify the measure would not affect religious liberty or conscience protections. In July, 47 House Republicans supported a similar bill. Senator John Thune of North Dakota and other Republicans blasted the Biden administration's plan to forgive billions in student debt.
The Democrats demonstrated once again they don't care about fiscal responsibility. They don't care about debt or deficit reduction. Right now, they care about one thing, and that is buying votes going into a November election.
Democrat Elizabeth Warren defended the plan.
40% of those getting help do not have a college diploma. The unions were behind it. This was ultimately the Democrats doing what Democrats do best, helping working people.
A stopgap spending bill to fund the federal government is also on the fall agenda. It must be passed by the end of September. Leaked data released by the Anti-Defamation League revealed hundreds of people who signed up or expressed support for the Oath Keepers, hold elected office, or are active members of law enforcement or the military. The far-right extremist group is accused of playing a significant role in the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Wednesday justified the recent arrest of 20 people in a new initiative to tackle voter fraud.
We want all voters who are lawful to vote to be able to vote. But if someone votes illegally, they could have canceled your vote out. How do you feel about that?
Those arrested are former felons who DeSantis says were convicted of crimes like murder and sexual assault. Voting rights groups accused DeSantis of undermining people's access to the ballot. South Carolina's governor plans to appeal a ruling barring the state from using a firing squad or electric chair for executions. The state has not carried out an execution in more than a decade due to problems obtaining the drugs necessary for lethal injection. Last year, lawmakers approved allowing inmates to choose between the three methods of execution.
Barack and Michelle, welcome home. Welcome home.
President Joe Biden greeted the former first couple at the White House for their official portrait unveiling ceremony, praising former President Obama as one of the most consequential presidents in history. Obama had kind words in return for his former vice president.
Thanks to your decency and thanks to your strength, maybe most of all, thanks to your faith in our democracy and the American people, the country's better off than when you took office. And we should all be deeply grateful for that.
I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Recently, we reported that the Wisconsin Supreme Court had revoked use of ballot drop boxes in the state, and several other states had proposed legislation that would limit or eliminate their use, claiming they were a source of widespread fraud. The Associated Press just reviewed the use of drop boxes in the 2020 election and didn't find anything that would have affected the election. The AP contacted top election officials in all but five states, asking whether their drop boxes were tied to fraudulent votes or stolen ballots, or whether the boxes and the ballots they contained were damaged. Of the states which allowed drop boxes, none experienced issues which would have affected the outcome of the election. Massachusetts and California each experienced a case of arson in drop boxes, but most of the ballots were salvaged and the voters were able to cast new ballots. The AP points out how big lie disinformation impacted the legitimacy of drop boxes. North Carolina had no drop boxes in 2020, yet allegations were made that they played a role in the outcome of the election there. The rapid expansion of drop boxes was due in part to processing changes at the U.S. Postal Service, as voters sought confidence in their ability to deliver their ballot on time. One voter interviewed by the AP stated, "Isn't a mailbox a secure place to put a letter? Why would a drop box be any different?" The AP's article and additional data on drop boxes are available at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
All right, now we are joined by Spike Priggen, live from Catskill, where Spike's Record Rack, the record store on Main Street in Catskill, has a grand reopening tomorrow with a special ribbon cutting and more. Spike, are you there?
Hey, yes. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
So tell us, you're moved all the way across the street.
Yeah, we moved to a much much bigger and nicer location directly across the street from our original location a few months ago, but we never had a grand reopening of the new store. So the Chamber of Commerce, the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, will be doing the ribbon cutting ceremony tomorrow.
Have you ever cut a ribbon before?
I've never had the opportunity to cut a ribbon before. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have special scissors picked out, or?
Geez, you know, I hope they have some giant prop scissors or something for me to use. You would think they would have some.
And who is attending this gala? This is good. The ribbon cutting is at 4 p.m. Is that correct?
Yeah, and you know, in addition to the ribbon cutting, I'm going to have a sale all day. It's going to be 10% off all used records, CDs, and cassettes. There will be complimentary soft drinks and complimentary Italian cookies that my mom is bringing from New Haven.
New Haven cookies.
And, yeah, we're looking forward to it. If people should come and check out the new store, it's very nice.
Are there local celebrities going to be cutting the ribbon with you, or politicians? Or?
I'm sure there will be. I'm not sure exactly who it'll be, but we'll see who the chamber brings along. But, you know, I'm just hoping it'll be some of my regular customers and some fellow merchants, and, you know, we'll see who shows up for it. My mom's bringing a contingent up from New Haven, Connecticut, my hometown, so that'll be nice.
So she should bring some pizza, too.
Well, yeah, we're keeping that on the down low.
I spoiled the plans there.
We call it Aviz, New Haven.
So tell us about...
Have you ever had New Haven pizza, Tom?
I have had a little New Haven pizza, and it is it lives up to its reputation.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm most proud about being from New Haven about is the pizza. Forget about Yale University and all that.
And tell us about the new store. It's bigger and better?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the old store was something like maybe 400 square feet, low ceilings. This store is more like 950 square feet with very high ceilings. You know, lots of room up on the walls to put the, you know, the more higher-end records and a big selection of CDs, almost 1,000, at least 1,000 cassettes up on the walls at all times. So, I've also, in the old store, I would have to set up and break down my radio studio every week in order to do a radio show. So now I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can just leave it set up all the time, which is really fun. So you may have noticed I haven't been missing any shows since I moved.
Tell us about what do people buy in record stores these days? Are you selling all noise cassettes? Or are you selling all classic rock albums or used CDs? Or
you know, my store tends to be fairly old school. I don't stock a lot of brand new music. It tends, you know, I mean, the stuff that always was popular is still really popular. I could sell Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and Fleetwood Mac records all day. But, you know, I also try and have a lot of, you know, alternative new wave punk stuff that I like that, you know, stuff that you don't see used very often, I'll order brand new copies of. So, you know, I try and keep bands like Wire and stuff like that in stock whenever I can. And, you know, cassettes have been selling very well. It's kind of crazy, but, you know, it's gotten to the point where huge national, international acts are putting their new releases out on cassette as well as CD and vinyl again, which is a bit shocking to me.
Yeah, I think it's mainly shocking because those cassette players break down so much and it's, like, very difficult to fix them. I think the guy in Catskill refuses to fix them because it's just kind of pointless. So I'm not sure where everybody's playing it.
Cassette players for me. Oh. But, you know, it's all a matter of whether you can get the parts or not, I think, usually.
Yeah.
But people seem to love cassettes. Yeah, that's a big part of my business. I mean, I sell some every day now, which is unusual.
And now you're stocking up on 8-tracks for that future revival?
That's the one thing I don't really deal with that much. I mean, I've had them and I've sold them, but we don't have like a specific section of the store for them or anything currently.
Is there anything that really surprises you that sells well?
Well, you know, I'm surprised every day by the value of records. They seem to be going up in value at a shockingly fast pace. You know, there's things that aren't particular favorites of mine that sell really well. Like, I never thought my having a living would depend on me having to have Billy Joel records.
Billy Joel records sell well.
Around all the time.
They sell well. That, I mean, it is surprising. It just doesn't seem like. Is it mostly collectors that buy things, or is it just kind of general music fans?
You know, I think over the last couple of years, vinyl has gone from being a very niche, hipster thing to just being like a normal thing that a lot of normal, average music listeners are into. You know, I sell records that I never thought I'd be able to sell. Like, I sell John Denver records. I mean, and they actually sell, you know, for like decent amounts of money. So yeah, it's really opened up. I mean, I think COVID had a lot to do with it. There was a lot of people sitting around for a year or two with a lot of time on their hands, and a lot of people had, you know, extra money coming in from the big unemployment checks. So, yeah, 2021 was a huge year for selling records. I don't know if, you know, I'd be happy to have another year that big again someday. But yeah, it's really spread out, and it's just, you know, on a random Tuesday or a Thursday, I could have a very good day and sell a lot of records, and, you know, it's very heartening to see.
Can you set us straight? There are rumors going around that in New York State you have to be 21 and ID'd to buy Herb Albert's whipped cream and other delights.
Nope. I don't know. That it could be possible. That could be the next step. Whipped cream is very verboten right now, I guess.
Is that the most common record ever made, or in thrift stores? Is that the most common record?
You know, I don't get a. I've never acquired a significant amount of copies of it, but I know it's a thing where, you know, certain stores will have like entire wall displays of just multiple copies of that record. But you know, that's a thing where, you know, records like that were thought to be, you know, dollar records or 50-cent records or, you know, total garbage, you know, actually will sell for 8 or 10 or 12 bucks for, you know, a really nice copy. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
And was it difficult finding another space in Catskill these days?
Well, honestly, no. Only because, you know, my lease is going to be, and the old store is going to be up in a bit, and I was trying to renegotiate my lease with that landlord, and I wasn't liking what he was telling me about what he wanted me to pay for that space. And I just happened to notice a sign in a window directly across the street from my store that said, you know, space for rent, call Joel. And I called Joel, and he was, you know, very happy to hear from me, and, you know, said, you know, we want you in our building, basically. So yeah, no, it was, I didn't, you know, I made one phone call, honestly. But, you know, if I hadn't gotten that space when I did, it certainly wouldn't have still been around at the end of my old lease. And, you know, I don't know what the situation would have been at that point. So it's kind of unfortunate that I currently have two stores on Main Street. The old store is now sort of a bargain annex, where I have like extra stuff and some bargain stuff. But yeah, it'll be nice when I only have one store on Main Street.
And you also have a few records up in, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, Ravenna?
The Coxsackie Antique Center, it's called. I think it's actually physically in New Baltimore. That's a great place. I do have a booth there. I've reduced my presence there significantly recently because I have this other bargain outlet on Main Street. But I always would recommend the Coxsackie Antique Center to anybody. It's open 7 days a week, 10 in the morning till 8 at night. There's every type of antique in there. And I'm the only, there's people that have records in their booths, but I'm the only real record-based booth in there. And I also have a lot of CDs in there as well. Yeah, that's a great place, and I really enjoy being a dealer there.
And then give us all the details on Spike's Record Rack. What are the hours? Where's the location? What's the website?
Right. So currently, Spike's Record Rack is located at 395 Main Street in the Village of Catskill. I'm open every day except Wednesday because that's when I do my radio show on WGXC. Open most days 11 to 5, Fridays and Saturdays 11 to 6. And then anytime that store is open, you can have access to our bargain outlet across the street, which is basically the old store. And in that store, I've got, things like $2 cassettes and $3, $4, $5 LPs and actually probably upwards of 5,000 $1 45s, some stereo gear, and a selection of rare music DVDs for $5 a piece.
All right, and then on Thursday, September 8th, the grand reopening is, what are the hours all day?
That's tomorrow. The actual ribbon cutting is at 4, but everything will be 10% off all day. All used merchandise anyway will be 10% off all day. We're probably starting around 2 p.m. We'll be putting out soft drinks and cookies and refreshments and stuff to get ready for the big ribbon cutting. So it'll be great to see as many people down there as we can get down there tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, September 8th. Local early morning temperatures range from 53 degrees in Lexington to 59 in Kingston. Regional average soil temperature is 68. A moist morning makes for mostly murky meandering as fog floats freely from farm to fancy fair. Can you tell I've had my coffee? All right, after 8, the aforementioned fog should be gone and the skies will be sunnier as the temperature rises to 79 degrees at 4 p.m. Overnight will be clear and cool with a low of 55. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 82 at 4 p.m. 55 degrees overnight again takes us into a Saturday with a foggy morning but otherwise dry day and a high of 85. Overnight will dip to 60 degrees and have another foggy morning and a likely cloudy afternoon on Sunday with a high of 82. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:34 a.m., low tide at 8:22 a.m., high tide again at 2:09 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:34 p.m. Today's current will be strong, and today's river temperature will be 75 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:06 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:24 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is expected to be mostly quiet today with no coronal holes or extra angry sunspots. Solar wind speed is currently 509 kilometers per second at 8.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 73. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Next, here is 2022 new music from Karen Schomer, the Columbia County-based poet and sound artist Peter Taylor. Their album is called Agro Dulce. And this song is called Do You Remember the Factory That Burned?
This road wasn't here. This alley wasn't here. The stream became a reservoir. The flood came down the hill past the Catholic Church. This was a stream. It shouldn't be a lake. The bridge is too low. Water can rise past it. Dead branches clog the dam. Sunlight grazes pasture, which was woods, which was a farm, which was a factory. A wall, a plain old wall. The new map lies on the old map. We set the clocks back. A different sun rises over a different ridge. I fall asleep and levitate. Trees lift the roof off the house. I sleep with pines. Their branches are sturdy, but unkind. Love you anymore. I don't.
You've probably heard the next song before. It's the Beatles and I Am the Walrus, but you may not have noticed the radio tuning going on towards the end of the song. John Lennon had the bright idea to hook up an AM transmitter in the studio, and he was telling drummer Ringo Starr how to tune the radio at the end of the song when you can hear a BBC version of Macbeth come in on the transmission.
The room. I'll find the right thing to Edmund Allen Johnson. Keep your knife upon that.
Take off the slow, spin it, mess it up, I'm about to make it go.